All right, this week we had on Andy Dane Carter. Andy talks about how he sells over $100 million a year in real estate, how he built a massive social media following, the importance of gift giving, and this YouTube hack that I've never heard of before that is absolutely genius.
The Broke Agent presents OverAsk Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of OverAsk. Today, Eric, we have a real estate titan on the episode. This is our first real estate titan, actually. Also, best-selling author of 100 Doors. We're going to get right into that. Keynote speaker, like I said, real estate titan. Mr. ADC, Andy Dane Carter, is on the program. Andy, thanks so much for coming on.
100%, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Love your guys' stuff. It's amazing.
Thank you. Well, likewise. We love your stuff. So, Andy... Nice. We always do this to start off for people who may not know you, which I think is few and far between in our industry at this point. But for people who may not know you, who is Andy Dane Carter?
Sure. I'm just a guy from Long Beach, absolutely loves the space of real estate. And like a quick little backstory is I was raised super poor by a single mom. We had nothing. I actually started working when I was 12, and we used to live in like this teeny tiny apartment. We didn't have a refrigerator. We had a cooler. Horrible student. I got D's and F's, severely dyslexic. I've got like just about 9 of 10 things that you're going to get really bad grades your whole life. I've got severe ADD. I've got all these things that I was kind of told are going to be a problem, and they're actually superpowers in the business world. But for me, it was just a whole lot of that. I've been in a lot of different industries. I was one of the youngest wine sommeliers in the country at 21 years old, was huge in like the restaurant space, got burnout, got real fat, and decided to just get like, you know, super clear and healthy and did that. And then I stumbled into real estate like most people do, 2008, when everybody was leaving. And they're like, you're an idiot. The whole market's burning. And what's the wine guy going to do in real estate? And I was like, you'll see. And I kind of went to town.
Were there any transferable skills from being a sommelier to being a real estate agent besides being able to consume copious amounts of alcohol?
Yeah, so that was a huge plus for sure. But it's so easy to go from being like a server, like something to do with that space, straight into real estate. The stuff is all like hospitality based, and it's all like you're like putting like together these huge problems. And it's I use this stuff all day, every day. You know, but yes, for sure. There's tons of that stuff that basically just transfers into service, customer service, and just working and then getting wasted. Yeah.
We've had a couple people on this podcast who got into the business 2008. What was your mindset behind that? Did you know the severity of what was going on, or how'd you stumble upon it?
Yeah. Super good question. No clue whatsoever. It wasn't anything where I was like, I'm super smart. I was so sick and tired of this life that I was living. And I was just tired of working for like corporate America, this huge sales team. And I was just over it. I was about 60 pounds overweight. I was this big fat dude. I'm going to show you guys pictures later. It's hilarious. My face looks like it's this big. And I've got all this sweet hat trying to look not fat, and it made it worse. But it's this thing where I was like, all right, like it's time for me just to hit pause on my life. And I was in this like suit every day, and I was this executive and this fancy wine salesman guy, and I was just burnt out and super unhappy. So I hit pause for a month and took a month off, and I got so happy that I'm like, I'm never going back to that job. So I started teaching yoga and racing triathlons. And that's what I did for a year and a half. I didn't work.
It was a crazy transition.
It was insane. And it's kind of how my brain's like, you know, built. I've got gear 1 and 6. I don't like really have those gears in the middle. All my friends and family thought I'd lost my mind. They're like, he's wearing shorts every day, and he's teaching yoga for $20 a class, and he's literally riding his bike for 6 hours a day. It's over for Andy. And then my buddy at the time, he's done. Yeah, he's over. He's completely lost it for sure this time. Yeah. And it was a super good buddy of mine. He smokes a lot of weed. He burnt his house down in Naples, so he had to go live somewhere. So he was actually living with me and he was flipping houses and he was making a ton of money. And I'm like, what is this thing? He's like, dude, you'd be so good at this. Why don't you just get your real estate license? You can still do all of your like hippie yoga stuff and ride your bike all day. And you can make like whatever, like $100,000 a year on the side, whatever. And I was like, all right. So I literally went to my backyard and went into like a deep meditation, was like, should I get into real estate? And I got a yes. I went into my computer and I signed up for my real estate license in California. And then I went straight into flipping houses about 6 months later.
Okay. Just so we're clear, you got your real estate license because your friend who smokes a lot of weed and burnt his house down told you to.
Yes. 100%.
Your life's a movie. You should be pitching this to
100%. Well, here's the funny part is I literally walked away from this amazing opportunity to go back into corporate America, have a huge sales team and make $400,000 a year. And instead I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to keep teaching yoga and I'm going to try this real estate thing. And again, my family's like, that's it. It's over. It's a wrap for him.
I like how you said you could make $100,000 on the side. I think that's kind of the mindset a lot of agents go in with, is that like, oh, I'm just going to sell homes on the side. And obviously we know that doesn't work.
No, at all.
So for people listening at home, Andy Dan Carter does hundreds of millions a year, right? So this was an incredible decision that you came to in that meditation, right? Like what are your sales right now? Aren't you at like 100, 200 million, possibly more?
Yeah, we should do somewhere around like 130, 140 million this year. And what's crazy is it was about 3 years ago now where I was like, I'm going to create a real estate team and I'm going to sell it, because I was at a Tom Ferry summit speaking on real estate. And I'm like, I could probably do this. I was so tired of the space of investing in syndications and multifamily. I was like, I'm just going to go into residential, same stupid mindset. Oh, I'm just going to make some money on the side so I can buy more properties, because I was burnt out. And I went from doing 5 million the first year to like 42 million. And then we did 102 million last year. And it's crazy business.
Million to 42 million. Yeah. How did you make that jump from 5 million to 42 million?
Yeah. Cause I wasn't, it was like, I wasn't paying attention to it at all. I would like list a couple houses for friends that would call me. And then I was like, this is kind of fun. And it's still super new to me. I love doing open houses. I love like, you know, all the stuff that you would like love to do as like a new agent and just kind of grind. I love all that shit.
So you went from 5 million to 42 million to 130 million.
So a tremendous amount of marketing. So the blessing was this superpower that we had for like print marketing and digital marketing and all this like stuff that we did for years for investors. It was the same ship. I just basically pointed it towards this thing and I changed my entire brand. Everybody knew me as like the real estate investor guy. And then now I've got like my face on these like, you know, signs and listing. And I'm like, I'm going to come list your house. So I just went completely, completely all in on it. And I had friends of mine, they're like, we didn't even think you did that. So it was literally just like me just kind of sharing with people, like, we have like a traditional brokerage and we can help you. We can help you buy and sell and we can help you invest.
From a branding standpoint, does being in Huffington Post, Forbes, having that blue check mark, does that help? I mean, I don't know if it will, you know, actually physically get you business, but just from a brand outside looking in, do you think that helps people kind of gravitate towards you to use you as their agent?
100%. It was the hardest thing that I've done in business was to get that little blue check mark on Instagram. I tried for a year straight. I got told, I don't know how many times, nobody wants to be you. Like, I mean, they are brutal. And I was like, all right, well, how do I get it? They're like, you need to be somebody who looks like they're famous online. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go be famous online. So then it was the perfect time because we actually launched the book. It did really well. And I got a lot of press on that. And then that was so much easier. But what was crazy is as soon as I started to send people messages with that dumb little blue check mark, everybody responded. It was like, it was crazy. It was almost 4 years ago now, but it was like instant credibility. It was so easy to book people for the podcast after that. They're like, oh yeah, sure, I'll just book it tomorrow. And I was like, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a year.
And you've had some monster guests on the podcast that we want to get into. So how did you get on the Huffington Post and Forbes? Because I think a lot of agents do want that press, and you did write a book, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. But like, how did you or your PR team get actually published in these large outlets?
Yeah, so it's super important to have a strategic plan. Like, just like marketing and branding and advertising, like, you need to have a PR team or like at least something. And so like, I kind of started this whole journey. I didn't know anything. I didn't know a thing. And this dude kept falling into my feed over and over again. He's screaming and cussing, and he likes wine. And he's from New York. And this dude's Gary Vee. And I was like, oh, I could fucking jam with this guy. I like his vibe. And this is 6 years ago now. And I'm like, how do I get a meeting with him? They're like, oh, it's impossible. And I was like, oh, okay, I got it. So I paid 10 grand and I got a meeting with Gary and his team. I fly out to New York with my film, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it seems like this is where the market's going. And my biggest fear, no one knows who I am. I don't have a website. I don't like, I've got like 300 followers on Facebook. I don't know how this whole world works. And I spent hours with him and his team and left there with a clear plan. And I was like, okay, I just do it everywhere. I have a podcast and a YouTube, and I went full gas. So there was a PR team that I hired of 6 people. And there was a marketing team of 8, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just hired everybody to kind of do it for me. And I'm like, I need help with this. So, but it's important to just like, to just do so much. I was posting 5 times a day and cutting stuff up, and the team was everywhere. And then the whole thing for me was like the book. I was like, now I'm the expert in my industry. Now I'm the expert in my field, and I'm trying to give back to them. Like, and then as soon as you're in Forbes, it's really easy to get on all the other platforms, and then stuff starts getting picked up. Here was the hack that the PR team did that was amazing. Everything that was public facing had my Instagram handle, had it in a hyperlink that was on everything. So if you saw me, you could just click that and go follow me. I mean, it was insane, the growth after that.
That's genius.
That is genius. I getting mean, a Gary a meeting with Gary Vee. Is I the know. Goal of like all of us basically. And it sounds like you got in super early, because $10,000, I bet that number now is $250,000 or more to even sit down and have a meeting with him. Was it just your team and him like coaching you for an hour about digital marketing? Like, how did that go?
Yes. And so then it was the like first day and the first ever daily deep dive thing where like you could pay to basically like, so it was that whole like, you know, thing in the first time he was talking about it on a podcast he was doing with Tony Robbins, and I was driving. He's like, so here's what I'm thinking about doing. I literally pulled over and started sending him messages and started DMing like all the people that like I knew. And as soon as I went there though, everybody was so cool. And now I'm friends with all of them. Like I'm literally like friends with the CMO of Vayner, and I can like, you know, shoot them messages. But the smartest thing that I did is I show up with a 58 Jets Super Bowl helmet signed by all the players. And then I gave it to him and I filmed it all. And he was like, hey, that was really cool of you and this and that. And then as soon as I left New York, sent these gifts to every single person that I talked to. And then I got their email, and then I've stayed in contact with them for years, and they're just amazing people over there.
The gift giving is
real.
it is real. I mean, Eric, we don't do that enough. Andy, what do you like? We're gonna send you a gift from OverAsk after this. What, you want a football helmet?
No, I'm good.
You want a mug?
So here's what I sent, right? Because this is like a weird gift that you're probably not going to get. It's this little stand and like a crystal. So the crystal sits on the stand. So then you put it on your desk or something. And now it's at their desk. And now they kind of reminded of me. And then it was this weird thing that worked. I had these things, like, it was a huge pain in the butt to get them all and then just box them up. But it worked really well. And now I'm like, you know, friends with all of them.
Matt, actually, after the Tom Ferry Summit last year, I sent 1-800-Flowers, which I realized was a hack move. 1-800-Flowers is just like a ridiculous company, but I wanted to send flowers to like Boomtown, our sponsor, and send like cigars and send snacks and stuff to like Byron's team and everybody who kind of hosted us. And then I realized that it was a moron move to send it from 1-800-Flowers because it's not like personal at all. And it just looks kind of ridiculous having a 1-800-Flowers thing in the mailer. Yeah. But the gift giving,
like bringing
right
someone, now, yeah, it's like bringing someone boxed wine.
Exactly.
It's, I mean, like it's sending like bringing a box Andy of Cracker boxed Jacks. Wine.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're like, thanks,
but for so we had Johnny Drinks on a Byron show, and Byron brought a $20,000 bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, however you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And they were so excited about it. Like he gave it to him, and that just like cemented the relationship. So I think there is a really important takeaway here. Like whether you leave a listing appointment or you meet with a buyer consultation or something, like sending them something very personal is such a different touch than following up with like emails and mailers and stuff like that.
It is so important to go on Facebook or Instagram, look up your clients like before listing, look up buyers. Like it's so easy to get the data. And like, speaking of Gary Vee, he has an old video out there where like, he's kind of given a pitch at like some kind of retail shop. And he's like, here's what I did is somebody called in to buy like a $200 case of wine from Wine Library. He sent him like a signed jersey by somebody. And then it's like he just kept going on and on and on about this. And he's like, if you sent me like a Jets hat, he goes, that matters to me because it means that like you took the time to like really kind of pay attention, and that goes a long way. And he's way up the food chain, but that shit really, really matters to you to them, to our clients. And it's a simple little gesture that like you took time to give a shit.
That's part of our job. And I think a lot of people forget that. Even with closing gifts, people, I think, feel obligated to give a closing gift, but don't actually understand what the gift entails and what it's actually all about. Like, I'll see a lot of people on Facebook groups be like, hey, like, I'm going to get my clients like a Nest Cam. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But like, part of our job is to pull out, you know, things about our clients. What do they like? That's why I've always said this. I wear so many band shirts, and I'll wear Yankees hats and stuff that can just start conversations. And I've started so many conversations that way. Oh, I love Nirvana. Perfect. Okay, you love Nirvana? That's going in my closing gift to you. And they, like you said, they remember that shit.
Dude, it's so smart, and it's such low-hanging fruit. It doesn't take any really effort extra to be like, oh yeah, they like candles or like, you know, whatever. And so like we have like a signature candle that we send out with our logos and stuff on it. And it's this thing that we have done by this like unbelievable company here in Long Beach. And it's all handmade and hand poured, but now it's branded to us. And now the client's stoked. And it's just something different, you know, than like a bottle of like Veuve Clicquot that you got from Costco. It's like, hey, we closed. Congratulations. Like,
that's what I've given to the 8 sales that I've done in my career. Literally, I go straight to BevMo, pick up a bottle of Smirnoff, write a nice letter. But right. You know,
here, let's get
that, that is behind me.
That's why he doesn't do any sales anymore.
Exactly. The bad closing gifts. What do you give for closing gifts, Andy?
So it's like a
not
really,
candles. That's for like Popeyes, right?
Well, it's like a really cool, like, you know, box we have. It's black and it's branded to us, and you open it up and it's got a really high-end bottle of this Blanco tequila that like we invested in. And I love the brand, love tequila. And that's like $100 a bottle. And there's a cutting board that's in there that's like stamped with like our signature and logo. And there's a signature candle. And there's usually like some kind of gift card for like $100 or $200 to like some kind of local restaurant to like the zone that we closed at. And then it's just this really cool box and it's black and we give it to them and they're pumped. It's just a cool little gift.
That's sick. I know. I need to get, I mean, I have pretty good closing gifts. I will, you know, I'm not going to say, but sometimes I really go above and beyond. I don't really get that many gifts. I'm kind of pissed at my clients for that. I feel like they should give me a lot more fucking gifts than like I do.
Why?
I really shouldn't even be giving them gifts. I mean, I gave them the gift of a fucking house,
right.
You know,
right.
But you know, I did my job, but no, I feel like I should get a couple more gifts personally, but that's neither here nor there. It's not always about me, you know? Andy, 100 Doors. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah.
Very catchy name.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a book.
Great name.
That, like, I was basically trying to get out there because no one knows that you could buy a duplex for 3.5% down. No one knows about house hacking. You can buy a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, live in one of the units, rent out the rest of the property to cover 60, 70, 90, 100% of the mortgage, and then you live for free. And for me, it was so important to get this shit out there because, one, no one talks about it. It's not taught in school. But that would have changed, like, my life. We were poor, and my mom could have for sure, like, she could have figured something out, right? Like over a few years. And like, here's the plan for 5 years. We're going to buy a duplex and we're going to put this much down. I mean, a $700,000 duplex, it's like $26,000, $27,000 down. And like, you're in, and now you're in an asset, and then it goes up. And then the hack that I love the most is if you, like, you just have your real estate license, you're going to make 2.5% commission because you're going to represent yourself as the buyer. So now you got to come up with 1%, which is $7,000. I don't care who you are. If you can't save $7,000, you just shouldn't be like around. You know what I mean? Like, you got a problem. But like it's so easy to save $7,000 over like 10 years. It's like a dollar.
So what, everyone should just be dead who doesn't have $7,000?
Absolutely, for sure. No,
if you're listening to this, throw it a like.
Yeah.
If you have more than $7,000.
It's this whole concept around I can't. Oh, I can't. I'm like, you spend like $20,000 a year in Starbucks, but you can't save 7 G's over 10 years to like help your family? Like, you're a scumbag. So for me, it's these like choices. And then you have this piece of real estate that goes from like 700 to a million. And now you got 300K in equity and you're still living for free. And if you're in your 20s, like, it's like, oh, I couldn't possibly, like, you know, do that because I don't want to be somewhere. It's like, so you rent it out and you could rent out all the rooms and travel the world and, like, you know, live from your laptop and run your media company, whatever the hell you're doing. And so the book is basically just like,
talking to me.
No, dude, you're good. I was like, there's so many ways to do
right
it.
At me.
I was looking straight into your soul. I was like, you should buy some shit. Come on. But it's this like, it's a super thin book. It's 100 pages. It'll maybe take you 2 hours to read. And there's pictures because I read like crap. I spoke the book into Rev over 7 days. I didn't type. I'm a terrible writer. I spoke it into a software. It was transcripted. I sent it to the publisher. They made their little tweaks on it, and I put it out to the market. I didn't like, oh, it took me like years to write my book. I just like, you know, spoke the thing into my phone, and that's it. Put it out. And
Did you call it 100 Doors because it's 100 pages?
No. So the plan is as soon as you get to 100 doors, you should be making roughly around $100,000 in passive income per month or per year, kind of depending on your thing. But that's a tremendous amount of money to make for doing nothing. Like, you're just going to own these assets and you're going to make a lot of money. So it's this whole kind of play on words where it's like, all right, so it's 100 doors and you're going to make $100,000 a month in passive. That's $1.2 million a year for doing nothing, and you can live on that.
Well, send me the book. No, I'll go buy it, Andy.
Oh, no, I'll send you guys a box of them. You guys can give them out. I'll send you a ton of them.
Yeah, I got a box of my Mission Impossible books. I can't have another box of books here.
Andy, you literally spoke that book into existence. Literally. Yeah. That's the most literal way you've done that. You literally spoke it into a software, sent it to an editor, and said, fucking deal with it from here.
You are 100% accurate. I'm a terrible writer. I mean, off the charts bad. I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. And like, you know, like, I just basically talked this thing and I'm like, here we go. I have a book, 100 doors. Let's go.
And it's a bestseller.
Yeah, it sure is.
Jesus, that's legit. Maybe I'm going to try that after this. I'm going to voice memo some shit. Send it to Eric.
Yeah, I'd be like,
called 100 skits.
Yeah.
100 reels.
Yeah.
100 memes.
100 reels.
Yeah, for sure.
That is not a bad idea. Posts of the same meme. We'll collab.
Yeah, no, I love the collabs. It's fun.
Okay, love it. Now, let's pivot a little here because you have an outstanding YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Is that where you would say now most of your business is coming from?
So there's a lot that's coming from YouTube. So Like, I went really, really hard with YouTube about 4 years ago, and then it slowed down because I had this office that was absolutely beautiful, amazing, and I literally poured my, like, blood, sweat, and tears into it, and then it burned down. So it was super hard.
What's with you and everything burning down?
Burning down around
you? Yeah, literally burnt down.
Did your friend come and hang out at that office?
It was the clown that was next door. He owned this stupid company, and all of his guys that worked there would literally go upstairs into this area and smoke a bunch of weed. Well, they went up there, smoked a bunch of, like, again, Long weed, Beach. Right? Yeah, Long Beach, right? And so it was this fire. It was like 12 noon on a Friday, and I'm like, I smell smoke. And I fly into the podcast studio because I think the whole thing's burning down. And there was a kitchen there and like a full bathroom, shower. Like, it was this huge office. And I'm like, I smell smoke. And then I literally go out the back door, and there's this huge fire that's on the roof right next door to me. And I was like, oh shit, that's a problem. So then I run in there, tell everybody to get out. Their building's on fire. And then the fire department, because there was so much stuff there, they cut a 30-foot trench to my building and pulled the fire to my building so they could. Anyway, long story short, the whole property burned to the ground. I was on the news. It was terrible.
Wait, they transitioned the fire from one building to yours?
Because there was so much fuel in their fire, they didn't want it to get there and explode and burn down all the buildings. So they pulled it to my building. That was nice. It was like art studio, pot. It was all clean and nice. And they could actually fight it as soon as it got pulled to my building. Thanks, guys.
Those pot smokers.
Hey, I smoke weed every night, but it's like I'm responsible.
Well, here it's a different kind of weed. Like if you smell smoke and hear Sublime, You're fucked.
It's over.
You're done.
Right? It's that. Yeah. Exactly.
Something's going to the ground. 100%.
So did this fire burn down your YouTube channel too? What you said you started.
Yeah. Sorry. So it completely burned down. Like, I was bummed. I mean, we lost hard drives. We lost all of our cameras. We lost the whole studio. And it was like a kick in the nuts. And I was like, look, I'm just going to take a break on the podcast. I'm going to take a break on the YouTube. And it was so crazy because it was right when I was about to start this whole thing with like a traditional real estate team and I was going to build it out. I was like, let me just focus on that and kind of see what happens. And then we circled back about a year ago and now we are full gas on YouTube, and YouTube Shorts is the new thing that we're going to go really, really heavy on. It's just a great platform. And I finally got my silver play button that I've been trying to get for 5 years. So I was super pumped on
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Yeah, we're only 93,000 subscribers away from that. So if you're watching this, please hit the subscribe button.
Subscribe
so
and like hit the notification bell. Yeah, exactly.
Subscribe and throw a like on this video, for God's sake.
Smash that subscribe button.
It's so hard for me to say. See? I absolutely hate that. It drives me nuts.
What do you see in YouTube Shorts? Because to me, I keep saying this, I feel like mine is a little broken. I'm not getting the views that I feel like some other people are getting on YouTube Shorts. What do you see? Is there like something that's going to really hit on YouTube Shorts, you think?
So I'm hoping, but I have no idea. And so like the biggest thing is just like test it. And it was some shit that I got from Gary years ago. He's like, you got to test everything. I don't know. Test it. I'm like, you're one of the smartest guys in the whole industry. And like, that's your advice to me. I don't know. Test it. And he's like, that's real. Like you have to see what's going to work and not work. But I have no idea. They have a lot of eyeballs and there's a lot of people going to the shorts and like the shorter format. And we saw it with Reels like crazy. We've seen it with TikTok like crazy. And there's a lot of noise on Instagram. I love Instagram. There's a lot of noise on YouTube too. But this whole thing with the shorts, it's going to have some legs for, I don't know, 12 or 14 months. And I think we can jump on it and we can get ahead of some stuff. So I'm just trying to it's the same with you guys, right? This thing is always evolving. It's always changing. They're always changing algorithms. So I don't have any idea. I'm just going to try it and see what happens.
I can tell you what we've been doing. We've been doing clips from every podcast. We have a podcast every day. And then we take two of the best clips that performed well on Broke Agent Media, or two of the best clips that perform well on that podcast, and then throw it up that same day. And then we're also taking the clips that I'm doing on like Marketing Mondays, where I'm talking about Instagram strategy. And some get 10 views, some get a few thousand views. It really is kind of a crapshoot, but a lot of it is about how you title the video. It has to be like this really popping, searchable title. And that's so much more important on YouTube than it is on Instagram Reels and TikTok. Like, the caption doesn't matter that much. It's starting to matter a little bit more on Instagram with SEO and everything. But for YouTube, having that title and having a good visual is like 80% of the game in terms of that clickability.
100%. And you and I were chatting a little bit at like Summit about the 24-hour live stream that's on YouTube.
I was gonna ask you about this. This is an incredible hack, everyone.
Dude, this changed the game for us like back in December. It was this great company, same thing, following me on Instagram forever, sending me DMs. Hey, you know, would love to work with you. My entire DM is like full of that. Hey, like, you know, all this stuff. And I finally hop on the phone with this guy and he's like, here's what we do. It's a 24-hour live stream. I'm like, I can't live stream for that. He's like, no shit. What you do is you take all of your content and you just stitch it together and then you put it on YouTube as this 24-hour loop. And so it's all your videos that you've done. And it's just, I mean, it's crazy. We rank on the first page every day. And like, we've doubled our subscribers in 6 months. It's been crazy.
So it pulls from all your older videos. Like, do you have to do any of that work, or are they using some sort of software where it's like you upload a listing video and then it's playing that, you upload a podcast and it starts playing that?
He did it all. He goes, you don't have to do anything except send me money. I was like, perfect. That's the kind of business model I like. He did it all on the back end. He becomes like some kind of admin or something on like the YouTube channel. I don't really do all this stuff, so I don't like completely know, but he just took the videos and he just drops it into some kind of software, I'm assuming, and then it just loops and runs and it's continuous and then it keeps going and then they switch it out from time to time. But it's extremely visible now.
Yeah, it's like Instagram, where if you're live on YouTube, that will pop up at the top of your YouTube scroll, like on your app. So that makes sense that so many more people are clicking on that and just subscribing from that. So that's a hack I've never heard before. When you told me that, I was enlightened by that, because that's something that we could do. Jeez. I mean, we have a show every single day, so we could just have it continuously looping.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I think here, like, I'll just pull this thing up to see if I can show you guys the thumbnail real quick. But it's insane. Every time like we click the like YouTube thing, that's what pops up. I mean, it's every time I touch YouTube, it's at the top of the screen, and then it's the same for like so many people. Like, they're like, we're so tired of seeing your face every time we click YouTube. That's the best compliment I could get.
I was gonna say that's a good compliment right there. That's genius.
It wasn't my idea. Absolutely genius. I just paid for it. That wasn't me.
Well, you can just act like it was your idea.
I completely invented it, and I wrote the software. I'm the man.
But the thing is, what I think a lot of agents lose sight of, like we were talking YouTube Shorts, and everyone's always worried about, oh, is it a fad? Is it going to stay around? I don't think that matters. Like, we saw years ago people build entire careers off of Vine that was around for, what, 1 year, 2 years? Mm-hmm. We saw people build huge followings off Clubhouse, which has now seems to be a fad. It doesn't matter if it's a fad or not. I think, you know, if there's interest in it, jump on it. Try. The worst that can happen is, okay, nothing happened. But, you know, that's still a pretty good risk to take. So I think, and that it goes for us as well, Eric. We just need to jump on kind of everything.
We're very comfortable. One,
I know. Which one? What's it called?
Be Real. Have you guys heard about this?
No, but I'm gonna jump on it.
Be Real basically pings your phone once or twice a day, and you upload a photo of exactly what you're doing at that time. So it's a front-facing camera and a camera, you know, that faces normally, basically. So you just take your phone and click it. It'll say, like, you know, 9 o'clock. And you click it, and it's usually people at work. You're supposed to look ugly. It's not like a filter app. It's just kind of like an authentic app. And then everybody uploads it to the same feed, and you can kind of see what your friends are doing. I don't know how this... Go ahead.
Think of how much that's going to destroy agents. How many times do agents be like, oh, sorry, I'm in a meeting right now.
Exactly. Yeah, this is exactly.
On their Be Real app.
Yeah, they're just sitting in a bathtub or something, or on the golf course. Yeah, this is not good for agents. I wonder, but there is something to it. Like, my fiance, Anna, is obsessed with it. And it's fun because you just you get to see your friends in a different light, especially with Instagram all being suggested posts and recommendeds now. You're not really seeing what your friends are doing, and you have to scroll through stories to actually see it. But for this app, you just see everybody uploads at the exact same time. You kind of drop everything. Like if I got a ping right now, I would just do this, shows my face, and then shows what's coming out of the camera too. So there might be something there with this down the road. But it is always good to go get on these apps, even if you think like I'm not going to build a following on it, just like Matt was saying, because you will hone some sort of skill from this. From Clubhouse, Matt and I became better podcasters. We picked up subscribers from Clubhouse because they heard us bantering, heard us talking shit to each other. We're like, I want to hear these guys in more long form. So even though like we didn't really build a huge following on Clubhouse, we built subscribers. We built listener base. So get on everything, basically, as we've been saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to work. Like it's going to work because your fiance, she's obsessed with it. There's probably a lot of people like that. And then it's going to work. Who cares if it works for a day or like, I don't know, 16 years. It doesn't really matter. You just want to be like exposed. And it's funny. I think it's going to be hilarious. There's going to be people doing weird. Here's the thing with like, everybody's so lazy. They want to sit there on their phone and be entertained. And if there's something new to entertain them, they're going to do it. Be like, oh, this was so funny. Here's this guy was doing at 9:20. Can you believe it? Like, you're literally taking away from your day. And then they'll be like, you know, sharing that stuff and the shareability and then sending messages. Oh, dude, you said you were at this and you're really like, it's all just, yep. It's the whole world now. Like, we want to be entertained constantly.
Totally. And mainly in short form.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. There's just no attention spans
it's
anymore.
It's gone.
Well, Andy, this was very, I want to say some of my takeaways here because you really resonated with me early on in the episode when you're saying you weren't a great student. I was not a good student at all. It actually seems to be more of a trend for at least creators and kind of content creators and stuff. Yeah, real estate agents for sure. But it's cool to know, like, you know, you're a guy who, you know, wasn't privileged growing up. You came into this with nothing. You knew nobody. You're saying you wear board shorts. Pretty sure you're like, all, you have a bunch of tattoos, which is, yeah. So he's got it all. And you're going to do around 130 million this year. So it really doesn't matter. None of that. That's all smoke and mirrors. That shit doesn't matter. People spend way too much time focusing on, oh, well, I gotta, you know, I'm going to go do this. But first, I got to get the right car. So, you know, I look a certain way. Or first, I got to get a new suit. Or first, I'm not going to door knock until I get my hair cut. I think at the end of the day, you just got to fucking go for it. So that was very, very cool. Resonated with me. I'm sure it's going to resonate with a lot of others.
Oh, nice, brother. Thank you.
Eric, anything nice to say to me or Andy?
No.
Do you prefer Andy Dane Carter or ADC or Andy or I've been calling. See, I never asked until the end of these episodes.
Yeah, it's so funny because my wife this morning she was on the phone with this like really great guy. We go way back, incredible business partners of ours, and she's like, "Your husband's kind of like a celebrity in this world," and she's like, I know I got to hear this crap all the time from all these other people that I meet, whatever. And she's like, here's the truth. If you call him Carter, you know him really well personally. If you call him like by his whole, like, you know, full name, you might kind of know him. I'm just Andy. Like that's who I am. And if it's, but there's this thing now where it's my full name. Like that was strategic by the marketing team. I mean, you guys wouldn't believe 3 days of going through, should I be Andy Dane, Andy Dane Carter, Andrew Dane Carter? I'm buying domains. I'm like, I don't know. And then like this one chick was like, that sounds really good. I was like, cool, let's do that then. So it's like a long way to explain it, but I'm just a regular dude who's super mellow and I just like to do real estate and have fun.
Well, I think it was a brilliant marketing move. Andy Dane Carter. Yeah. It's very memorable. Even when we were going over the list for Bam Bash, I was on a Zoom with Jill and I said like, oh yeah, my friend Andy Dane Carter's on the list. She's like, does he need to have his middle name on everything or whatever she said. And I was just like, honestly, it's kind of sick. And then when you
came in, it's a strong move.
Remember when you came in, she's like, oh, look, it's Andy Dane Carter. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it really like just engraves in your brain. So
now,
what
do you guys
marketing.
Think? What do you guys think? Matthew Dean Leonetti.
Dean's strong? A kind of sick middle name.
That's a sick name. Thank you. It's strong. Yeah. Here's the thing.
Dean's really sick.
You want people to talk shit. I want more people to talk shit. We have a massive budget now for multiple listing service fines because people narc me out or turning in my market or driving around taking pictures and stuff. I'm making them mad because they like, you know, think I got this huge ego and I'm a dick and I've got three names. They're talking about me. It's working. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always say be a little polarizing because that, you know, it's better for someone to talk about you than not
100%.
To. Well, I think we graduated from Andy Dane Carter to Andy, and now I think it's safe to say we're just going to go with Carter.
I love it. Perfect.
At this point.
That'll make my wife happy. She'll be stoked.
Okay.
Carter, where can the people follow you?
Yeah, I'm super easy to find. You just basically type in my full name, Andy Dane Carter.
There we go. That's what I wanted.
Trying to get the TikTok account back. It was hacked when I was in Dallas with Tom Ferry, and it's like a verified account, and I can't get it back, but I'm on all the other platforms. I like Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all that good stuff.
Matt, I got one more thing, actually. Speaking of the Tom Ferry, what was your major takeaway from that conference?
So I really liked the stuff on Thursday, and I really liked the speaker a lot. He was really cool. And like, I got to kind of do a lunch and learn with him. And he did this like crazy thing with like how you just like completely handle like tons and tons of problems and all these different objections. And he did it in a really, really cool way, which was like extremely grounding. It was just great though. It is such a great community. Like it's so funny because so many people talk to me, oh, this and that, and coaching, it's expensive. And I was like, if you told me, and I was talking to Robert Mack about this yesterday, I was like, and like, he was kind of bringing this, like, you know, stuff up. If you told me that I still had to write those like huge checks every single month and there was no coaching, but I got to stay within that community, I would still do it. Like, here's the thing with coaching, that's just like cherry on like top, right? It's great, but I learned so much from you guys and following you guys and your guys' stuff. And what's great about that whole community is I can pick up the phone and be like, I'm shitting the bed. How do I fix this? And like 20 people will help me. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest takeaway.
You
is that like,
when you're shitting the bed, but
yeah. No, I want to be like, it's like, it is such a great community that just really likes to help. And I just love that vibe.
Love it.
Yes.
Well, Carter, 100 Doors is out now. Yes. Go get your copy. Yes. If there's a building on fire around you, maybe contact Carter as well. He'll probably know what to do more than most of us. Thanks so much for being on the episode. We really appreciate
100%,
it.
100%, guys. Thank you much.
The Broke Agent presents Over Ask Podcast.